الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. Last week we discussed how in the Salah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw something that took his mind away from the Salah, then to ensure that his ummah will be protected from fitan, and the wording that he used, "I fear that this would throw me into fitna." Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even he was surrounded in the times of war, his heart would never ever go away from Almighty Allah. So for him in Salah, for his heart to go away, that was very far. But just because the attention was drawn, it was understood that if his attention was drawn in the Salah, then the Ummah would definitely show a lot of importance. So the law was to be as simple as possible. Whenever there was a need where the Ummah did not have so much, that they could afford the best of clothing, they could afford the most simple. Example, if a person says to wear a jacket, wear a jersey, and try to have no sign on it at all. So Islam was going to be so easy, and at the same time, it was going to keep its mizaj and its temperament. Wherever there was difficulty, where a person did not have something, the law was, where a Sahabi radiallahu an, he would be out hunting. And because of hunting, the majority of them, if they ever had to wear a lower garment, it was a lungi. And with the lungi, a person understands that if you try and run behind an animal, when they would hunt, it would never be like our hunting, that you're sitting in the car, then you go, you get a good shot. Their hunting was a real hunt, where they would have to run and chase, and they have to keep up with the animal. So Salma bin Aqwa radiallahu anhu, who was famous as a racer, he asked Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Inni rajulun asidu," that I am a hunter. So obviously during the hunt, there would be times, and hunting, again, was never a sport. They would go out getting, that was the food that would come now to be eaten. So hours would sometimes go behind that animal. And when the time of Salah would come, Sahaba radiallahu anhum would never leave the Salah. So this worried him that during the hunt, if I am going to have a lungi, then I won't be able to hunt. And while hunting now, if I had gone out with one cloth and the time of Salah comes, so he said, "Afa usalli fil qamisil wahidi," one garment I have, can I perform my Salah in this one garment? They already understood what was their satr, what was the basic, what had to be covered. The qamis was long, so it would come from the top, and it would cover over the knees. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No problem." He said, "The only thing is, make sure you put something that keeps it closed. Walau bishoka," he said, "even you take a thorn, because while in the hunt, you would be passing enough trees. So if the time of Salah comes, you take a thorn and you just put it on the qamis. The qamis would be loose." Now understand that when he says one qamis, when we speak about clothing, first we speak about a vest, underwear, on top of it a qamis, the bottom of it a trouser. When they speak of one, it meant one. There was nothing under. Because of which, if the man's eye had to fall, although if man's eye falls on his own satr, so he is wearing clothing, but his eye falls on his own satr, it will not spoil the Salah. But this was never good for the Salah. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This you close up. Make it tight, at least with a thorn, so that it stays close to the body, so that your eye does not fall on your own satr." How much intizam was made that wherever possible, how much you can do for your Salah, do it. And whatever is difficult, Allah will make that maaf. And this was that temperament that he created. When Sahaba radiallahu an saw that people were not understanding, then they would sometimes do that which they had seen Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing, and then they would make bayan of it also. And this was the unique understanding of the temperament of Islam, that there was reasons why Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted sometimes, to show that when a need comes, necessity comes, when a person hasn't got money, he can wear this. And then there was other times when he showed, I'm not happy with this. That was to show when there's no need, when you can do. A person who never ever sat in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he had to take one narration, and he had to say, in this narration, Allah's Nabi permitted one cloth, and he had to make that the focus of his life, then he would be said that you learnt a narration, but you never got the understanding of the temperament. And if another person heard the second narration where he was told that how Sahaba radiallahu anhum saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not like colors in salah. He did not like anything that caught the attention. He did not like the satr in any way to get exposed. And they would become so hard that if ever there was a need. So a narration comes. The Sahabi says that Jabir radiallahu anhu, he performed salah in front of us fi izarin, in one cloth. He tied it from the top of his neck, from above under the neck, and then he let it flow right down. He said, but he had clothing right in front of him. There was a wooden board in front. On that board was his clothing. And Jabir radiallahu anhu in one cloth performed his salah. So someone said to him, Tusalli fi izarin wahidin. That are you allowed to perform salah like this? Look at his answer. He said, Innama sana'tu dhalika liyarani ahmaku mithluk. That I have performed salah today in one cloth, despite having much more clothing in front of me, so that an ignorant person like you can see me. Now obviously when he would say that word ignorant, that student who was asking would be like a student where the ustad says, bewakuf. That he wouldn't be upset and angry and say, how dare you insult me. He said, why did I do this? He said, ayyuna kana lahu thawban ala ahadi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many of us do you think possessed two cloths? So if he had to make it hard, and Islam is what is called a da'imi, am faith, it was going to come for the man in the village and the man in the city. It was going to create a temperament which was going to be all encompassing. And it was going to cover every need and necessity. Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu, now someone says to him, that I have heard as-salatu fi thawbil wahidi sunnah. Like how Jabir radiallahu anhu, he read salah in one cloth. And then other sahaba radiallahu anhu must have narrated. So they said to Ubay bin Ka'b that salah in one cloth is sunnah. And he explained, he said, no, temperament is different. Kunna naf'aluhu ma'a Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, we used to do it. Meaning not that I don't know the narration. We also used to do it. Wala yu'abu alayna. No one ever laid a fault, an accusation. No one ever said anything to us. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu then gave the explanation. So Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu said, salah in one cloth is sunnah. When someone said this to Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he gave the explanation. He said, إِنَّمَا كَانَ ذَاكَ إِذَا كَانَ فِي الثِّيَابِ قِلَّةِ. That was the era where there was hardly clothing in the Muslim world. فَأَمَّا إِذَا وَسَّعَ اللَّهِ. Now that Allah has opened up the doors, فَالصَّلَاةُ فِي الثَّوْبَيْنِ أَزْكَى. Now he says, we will definitely go to wear two cloths. The usul that was going to be placed here was that when a person will read the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will find sometimes two different roads. On one side, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is becoming very irritated, very upset with something what we will call very small and minute. And on the other side, he is giving permission for something so big. He is giving permission for the Sahabi who is going to hunt. He only got a qamis. He tells him, okay, as long as you can't see your satr, no problem. Otherwise that qamis is so big that his whole body is under it showing. But he doesn't become hard on him. Why? Because he needed at that moment to go out with one. Someone asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, can a person perform salah with one? He became upset. He said, the way you're asking me, you want me to say no. If I have to say no, it will become difficult. He said, where does everyone possess two clothes? And as soon as some mus'at was created in Islam, sometimes when a student is studying in madrasa, there is something called that you can always find a dalil of jawaz, a proof for anything being permissible. But a temperament of a sahabi was never that. The temperament was when Allah has now made the matter easy, إِذَا وَسَّ Allah. When now my Allah has made the matter easy, why? Unfortunately, as we go towards Qiyamah, it has been mentioned in the ahadith, things will change. A lot of things will change. إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَى غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ. When the matter will be handed to someone not deserving. Similarly, in the understanding of Islam, what was the purpose of the bayan of jawaz? That this is permissible. When there is need and necessity, make it easy for someone. Don't be hard. But take the right temperament. But that was also going to change. And the temperament was going to become everything is jais. The temperament was going to become everything is jais. So if a person walks into the masjid with the most colorful cloth, and someone says to him, this is not a fashion parade here. He will say, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allowed a person that he could perform salah in any cloth. And now you are making life so hard that the kurta must be worn, the topi must be worn. So if a person wants to go shorter, 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 in the ending of the world ended off is where the woman wears practically nothing. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib Damat Barakatuh many a time would give an example. So he would say, how much jawaz must you look for? Or how much must you cut? So he says a person who found that his cloth was not fitting, was too long. So he said to his wife that the thing is too long at the moment. If you can just make it a little shorter, the trouser. And the narration will come. Before we go to that, just listen to this narration. Because many a time, when in someone's mind it comes that how much can the trouser be down? So as it started dropping, 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 it never stopped dropping. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimullah, one of the moves of his works, one of the unique efforts that he made, you will only understand it when you will see people in Pakistan. To wear the trouser over the ankle for the men is regarded as a shan. Anyone who's like pious or non-pious, even when he puts on the kurta, it must go over the ankle. First you will think it's like ittifaqan. But it's like part of parcel of the trouser. The trouser must go over. You'll never find like one person who bought a trouser and it said, hey, I got it still short, it came. He will definitely make it that it touches just before the ground. So he has to be very hard on this. And greatly in Bayanat he would speak about when the trouser comes below the ankle. And sometimes you would think about, didn't I hear this Bayan already? Didn't I hear this Bayan? Sometimes you would make a person repeat it. You would say, the actions to reach Almighty Allah. Give this Bayan. Then one person is giving it. Then he says, give it again, same Bayan. I would think, same Bayan again. And again, same Bayan. But the change that he brought about in the minds of the people came with a lot of repetition. Lot of repetition. Finally, the trouser lifted. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a person performing salah. Musbilun izarahu. His trouser was over the ankles. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him after the salah and said, "Idhhab fatawadda." He said, "Go now and perform wudu." We hear of the narration where Sahaba radiallahu anhu laughed in salah. He told them, go perform wuzu and repeat your salah. This was also an occasion where he told the sahabi after the salah. The salah never broke. He told him, I want you to repeat your wuzu. فَذَهَبَ وَتَوَضَّعَ. When the man came back, somebody else asked, "Oh Allah's Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what is the matter that I saw you ordering him to make wudu? Like if it had to do with salah, what was the wudu's point?" The ulama of hadith leave this here like a blank. It is a secret, like. What was the reason Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered him to go make wudu? He just gave the answer, but he never mentioned why. He said this man was performing salah and his trouser was over his ankle. And then he said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبَلُ صَلَاةَ رَجُلٍ مُسْبِلٍ إِزَارَ. Remember, Allah will never accept the salah of a man whose ankles are covered with his trousers. But he never mentioned why wudu. And he said, Allah will never accept the salah of this man. So it means that perform your salah. Because Allah will never accept your salah. But what happened with the wudu? Why was he so hard at go and make wudu? One possible reason is, he stood in a condition where it's even out of salah. When the trouser is covering the ankles out of salah, then also it is completely makruh, tahrimi, haram. It should never be done. But when a man entered the salah, and now it is called, you entered in the court of the king. In the court of the king, if man is so beparwa, like not bothered, that I'll stand in front of the king in a garment or in a manner that makes the king angry. Normally in our normal circles, where a king says no one must do this, and that man is doing it but far from the king. If the king gets the message, he becomes very irritated. But when the man walks into his palace and does it, the king says, "Are you bold against my command?" When this person says, "Allahu Akbar," and the trouser is over the ankle, he brings himself under such a condition of the curse of Almighty Allah. That right in my ibadat, you did the act which I did not want to see. So when so much of anger falls, what is the way to remove that anger? He said, "Go and make wudu quickly." Because wudu takes away fire. Wudu takes away anger. This narration was to show that when a person performs his salah, he should not be beparwa at all. When that Allahu Akbar is made, perhaps because it became automatic, now I have to read my two rakats sunnah, two rakats nafal. Quickly read my two rakats and I'm running. A person should never say Allahu Akbar and his heart is not there. Because no one runs into the court of the king and says, "Hey, how are you, right, I'm gone." Someone else says, "You should rather have not come into the court." So the usul, when we spoke about these, what is called ihsan, it's that same amount of time that you normally would have done the action. To use that same amount of time just with that dhyan, that thought, that is called ihsan. As though to worship Allah as though you are looking at him. Meaning when the king is in front, you'll think a little. So the same amount of time, but just to have that khiyal. When that khiyal is there, a person will naturally look at his clothing first. He will look, am I dirty anywhere? He will do it when he's surrounded by people. And he will also do it, Allah grant us all tawfiq. The time has to come where a person can wake up at night. And he wants to perform salah and there is no one looking at him. And in that condition also, he will see, what will I wear? Otherwise, no one is. Going up the steps towards ihsan, there's no limits. And going down the steps, there's no limits also. When a person wants to become so lax. So under the narration now it comes, because this chapter had the chapter about salah and satr in salah. But satr in salah then takes a person to a level. If you can climb this ladder, that in my salah I should think about what I'm wearing in front of my Allah. A time then comes to a person who even out of his salah, he starts feeling a little shy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his sahaba radiallahu anh to that level. There it was going to be made easier. That it is hot, it is the desert, it is a time when there's load shedding, there's no fans. You can't be wearing a kurta all the time. But now when you're going to take out your clothing, how much are you going to take out? Coming down the ladder, a man, when he loses the dhyan of Almighty Allah, the thought, then he only looks around him to see is anyone else looking. And when a man goes up the ladder in ihsan, but it starts with salah, that how I wear my clothing in salah. A time comes where the same thought then grabs a person out of salah. So the issue came where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ihfaz awratak. Now always look after your satr. Illa min zawjatik aw ma malakat yaminuk. Yes, if your wife is by you, meaning you are going to now have relations, or your slave girl is by you, and you are now going to have relations, then you can become naked. So the Sahabi says, I said, O Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا كَانَ أَحَدُنَا خَالِيًا. That you mention when the wife is there, when the slave girl is there. What about when no one is there? When no one is there also, then what's the purpose of covering my satr? No one is there. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu ahakku ay yustahya minhu minan nasi. More than the haya that you have to have from people, Allah got a greater right that you have that haya. Look at this wording now. It says, summa al-ari wal-mustatir. This is not the wording of a hadith, but what an explanation. He said, the man who is naked and the man who is covering his satr. وَإِنْ إِسْتَوَيَا فِي نَظْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَيْهِمَا. With regards to Almighty Allah looking towards both of them, both are equal. Because by Almighty Allah, clothing creates no barrier. So whether you wearing clothing or whether you naked, with regards to Almighty Allah looking, both are exactly equal. إِلَّا أَنَّهُ يُرَى الثَّانِي مُتَأَدِّبًا وَالْأَوَّلُ تَارِكًا لِلْأَدَبِ. Yes, the first one will be said in front of Allah walking around naked. You got no adab for Allah. And the second one will say, you are muta'addib. You are a person of adab. If the man has to say, is it jais or not jais? Is it haram? Then we will say, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to make life easy for the ummah, he made a lot of things permissible. A lot of things. But whenever there was no need also, he did not want it also. So where the wife was there, where the slave girl was there, he said, you don't have to cover your satr. When they said, there's no one there, then he said, now why you don't want to cover your satr? He said, now why don't you make haya from Almighty Allah? This temperament which was so unique. There were going to be times that man had to remove his clothing. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught to read Bismillah. He said, with the name of Allah, the jinn will not be able to see you naked. Take Allah's name and you can take out your clothing. And when there was no need, he said, why do you want to walk around naked? Do you not have haya for the Zat of Almighty Allah? In this chapter, we learn this principle. That every narration where it showed permission, we understand the kamal of rahmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That he did not want to make anything difficult for his ummah. It was going to cover all errors and all times. But the normal law is, when the father is so kind, then the son always tries to say, but I know his temperament. When the father says, you don't have to do it, what it means? That, but if you do it, how nice. But if that son says, my father said, don't do it. The other one will say, but you will never become the beloved of your father. Just the sentence that he said, you don't have to do it. So finally, that incident Hazrat Maulana gave. So the trouser was too long. So he said to his wife, that if you can just make it a little short, I'm going out. So normally when the wife is in the same house with the husband's sister, let's call her sister-in-law and the husband's mother, mother-in-law, you're always going to have this sentence, that I do all the work in the kitchen, and that lazy sister of yours does nothing. Can't you ask her? So he kept quiet, he never got angry, he's a good husband. So he just went past his sister and he said to his sister that, you know what, this trouser, she said, what you got a wife for? Whole life I slaved for you. Now you got married, you still want me to do it. So he kept quiet. As he was going, he saw his mother. He said, Mommy, you know what, my trouser. So the mother, she had two people to jump. Whole life I served you. Your sister grew up. You got a wife and you still come back to me. So poor person just kept quiet and he walked out. As he walked out, so the wife, after getting finished with the work, wives are like that. They'll never ask for maaf, but they'll do the work. So she walked past, she looked at the trouser, she said, let me just do it. So she did. And she left it this hanging. That's where they had this, the thing to hang the cloth. After a while, the sister came. She said, that lazy wife, she'll never ever do anything. But my brother was always good to me, so she decided to make a second cut. Said he wanted it short, so she never goes on to ask how short. Finally, the mother was going to come. The mother will say, those two lazy things will never ever do work. I always will have to do for my son. My son in the end of the day. So she made a cut. So then Hazrat Maulana says, now when so much cutting was done, what do you think will be left? He said, a jockey. He said, now when the man comes back, so he says like that there, if you're going to carry on cutting at your deen, and every time you're going to say, isn't this also jais? So a lot of things in Islam is going to be jais. But the time will come where instead of wearing four cloths, three cloths, two cloths, we'll go back to the original. And the man will say, I wear one cloth, I'm a hunter. And says, and I can prove it in the hadith also. And the sahabi says, wearing one cloth was a sunnah of the time. But you'll say, but the temperament was supposed to go from one to two to three to four to five. You're not supposed to go backwards, you're supposed to go higher. When Allah has made the matter easy. Similarly in our clothing, when it was noticed that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not like things that attract too much. So it is not farz that we have to do it. It is not haram that a man wears something like that. But when Allah has given so much of wus'at, that in today's time people themselves, they can employ tailors. They can go to the tailor and say, I want my kurta made in this design. I want the pocket in this manner. I want the cuffs in this manner. When so much, that's the meaning, إِذَا وَسَّعَ Allah. When Allah has opened up the door so much, now still for a person to say very hard, then you'll say, is very hard really hard, or is it just you don't want to do it? So a person should try in today's time to become as simple as possible. When we had people speaking about for their children, that now my child is going to be looking for clothing. He said, but when we go to the market, every pajama has to have a picture. So then the alim said very nicely, no, it's not every pajama got it, most of the pajamas got it. But it can never be any, every. He said, you make an effort that you go to the people who make pajamas. And you show them that I want a pajama like this, and you'll get a market for it. Just because those people are ready to make anything which people will buy. So that person who goes in the shop and says, I never saw it. Can I wear this? You say, Lord things is jais. He says, but when Allah has made the matter much bigger, why don't you write to one company? Why don't you ask someone? My brother visited a certain person and he said to him that you do work in clothing and you're selling to so many different groups, like to nurses and to whatever in the different departments was women's clothing. So why don't you have a department called modest wear? Modest wear. The person was very taken by it. I never thought of that. Modest wear. And he brought a brand of his because it was found that all the clothing which were being made at that time was becoming looser. That even if a Muslim woman was wearing it in a house, it was becoming quite loose. Modest wear went the other. He said, amazing after that, who became his best customers? Many of the white women, the old white women, they began saying, we just feel so uncomfortable with this new clothing. They also grabbed onto modest wear. So when a man goes in a direction of a temperament, he will find even non-Muslims will say, I like that also. And when a man goes saying, I want to see what is jais, then after that a time might come where you will find underwear also. And the man will say, can't I wear this? I'm sure the satr is only the basic aura. Meaning the main private part is the satr, not the rest. So the temperament of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah tabarak ta'ala bless us all with it. When the man says, Allahu Akbar, then let him understand, now in the court of Allah, just before entering this court, I must be so worried of how I'm looking. Allah grant us all the diyan, the thought. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.